434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, 266-4862. Brass Stacks.
How are you doing?
I am good, thank you.
Okay, fine.
And you, sir?
I'm great.
Go ahead. Uh-huh. What's happening?
Yeah. It seems as if some people in Barbados are stuck within their mode of the former poor governance.
Administration?
Poor governance. Uh-huh. In the mode of poor governance.
Agreed.
Or lack of transparency. Which betrayed through the DLP's tenor. Now, the new government could have simply added additional 20 cents to the cess at the pump for a year or so, and then remove the road tax before anyone even knew it. Because based on what the former Minister of Finance did, he introduced the cess at the pump ever since 2010. And collected approximately about $240 million over a 10-year period, over a year period, right? No matter which date that you had a cutoff point, you know, to remove the road tax, the oils would be winners, and the oils would be losers.
You know, sir. You know what I believe? I saw a comment. The General Insurance Association of Barbados said they were amazed that the report that there were 20,000 unregistered vehicles on the road, right?
Right.
For the amount of comments I've heard, I believe, from people about the introduction of this system of collecting road tax, I believe that's 20,000 we hear.
I didn't hear that.
I believe that's the 20,000 we hear in. But I was being funny. No, the truth is, sir, you are correct. No matter what, how it was introduced, you were going to have pushback. But somebody will always. But I think there were missteps with the statements made by the minister, and it should have been pulled back and treated with the same manner in which public relations are treated. You get up and you say, look, I made a statement. I was incorrect with that statement. And then let's see how we could fix it. I think, you know, that's just added fuel to the fire.
Because when Mr. Thompson introduced, in his first budget, when he introduced, they said road taxes, increase the road taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to talk about rebate. Now, if you look at it here, is this something significant point that I would like to bring out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1994, there were 54,000 vehicles. By 2012, there were 154,000, an additional about 99,000 or 280%. In 2007, government collected about $32 million in road taxes.
Shoot.
By 2012, the total reached 58 million. That's an additional million. I mean, it's 26 million. That's an additional 26 million, or about 81%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the 17th of this year, the Deputy Chief Technical Officer, Mr. Philip Tudor, said a 1994 survey, that's about 24 years ago, showed that there were 1,950 roads in Barbados. 59% were in fair to good condition. 41% were in poor or very poor condition. He said things would have gotten worse because after 15 years, roads start to oxidize due to the exposure of constant sunlight.
Hmm.
Right. Tudor stated that a transport levy, there used to be a transport levy, but now all of the funds are going into the consolidated fund. Therefore, the ministry is no longer, it gets to roll tax, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to what I believe was going to happen now. with this new tax, this would go at the pump. This would go directly to facing the roads.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, as I said, over the time, you see they had to increase the taxes, but still
a deterioration in the road conditions. Yeah. And in addition, let me add this, because I don't know whether you include it or not, but I'm going to add this. There were also questions raised about who got the contracts, the quality of the road work, and whether it was being monitored and being done up to standard. Because I remember one of the frequent callers to this program, now deceased, used to go and talk about the level of Barber Green being put, how thick it was, and going back, this is going back years. This question of how we fix the roads, who gets the contracts, and if they're done, that's been a big issue.
A big issue. Right?
And I hope that now we're getting funds that the roads actually get fixed. That's the other thing. Because then people will start not making so much noise.
Because actually, 24 years ago, as you said, you rode off the days in 15 years. Obviously, it's clear there to see that that's why all the roads are such poor.
Breaking up.
Poor condition. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, yes, I wanted, because I remember even my first couple of cars during this matter, I said this, that was from the police report. Mm-hmm. There were 15, well, the minister says
20,000.
Yes, I know for a while that the police was saying that there were 15, so 20 isn't out.
Isn't out of the park.
It's out of the park at all, right?
No. Oh, boy. Yeah. So that's a big figure.
It's a big figure. So I believe what this road tax would do it directly on the pumps. It will be able to spread now the overall. You know, these guys that weren't paying
will now be caught in the trap.
Get caught in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I quite agree with that. The other thing is this, sir. We need to look at ensuring that the vehicles on our roads, that they're not damaging the roads. I remember a young driver, the person was learning to drive. They came across the sign that says no more than 10 tons or whatever on the road.
Right.
And he asked, so how would a 10-ton vehicle get here? And I couldn't answer because he was pointing out that there's some roads that say this is the maximum, but you don't know what it is on the others.
Right.
So when you get to that point, what do you do? We have to look at what we put on the road, how we maintain the roads, and, of course, making sure that the money for the road goes to the road. Yep.
Yes, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And you know what I would like to say publicly?
Mm-hmm.
I believe, in all earnesty, I believe when the government is getting roads to build, they should have a guarantee. If you go downtown and buy a TV and go buy a TV, you get a guarantee.
I agree with you, sir.
You could pay millions of dollars to get a road fixed without a guarantee. If you place that guarantee, these guys will do the proper job.
I agree.
Spend amount of years in the world aren't me. You know, you guaranteed to keep it, so you got to go and meet Yang and Wong, go back and do it again. Because I believe it's a lot of bad work.
Has been done. Sir, I have to agree with you. Look, let me tell you, right, sir?
I know
I got into trouble, I think, with the PR company for the contractor by making the point at one point. You know the Jersey barriers that were put in the road?
Yeah.
Some Jersey barriers were put down that didn't have holes in them for the water to run through. They had to be cut afterwards.
Right.
Then I am going along the highways now. I see trees growing out of the Jersey barriers, the dirt going up on it. We talk about the road markings all the time and how long they last. There must be something that says, if you do this for the first year or whatever, you're responsible for the maintenance. If there's any work that's shown to be poor work done, and I agree with you. It has to be done.
You go buy a little TV, you get a guarantee.
Man, anything you buy, a radio, you need to go buy a whole TV, a radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
So I agree with you totally. Right. The other thing that I would like to engage you on, because it's one of the things that I know you do, the whole question of the statistics you keep as we go forward. We're going to have to look, I think, very closely, because they say we got to be watchdogs, let's be watchdogs.
Exactly.
The percentage of wastage that occurs in too many of our government dealings. And I'll tell you what I mean when I say the percentage of wastage. I do a program for The Beat called The Beat Business Roundtable. And one of the things that was said is that we pay sometimes up to $15 million for containers, for the length, rented containers, for the length of time it takes to bring a container in and turn it around and get it out. So $15 million is a lot of money.
Oh,
if somebody is paying $15 million, whether it's a year, it has to mean that we, the public, paying for that $15
million.
Because the man can take it out of your pocket and say, you know. So we have to look at those areas and see what percentage of what we consider to be wastage is happening and how we could fix it. Because it has to be something we fix.
Yeah, over the time I've been saying this, and I made the point a couple of times. Now, whereas before you would hear people talk about send home workers to cut the government expenditure. I don't believe necessarily in that. That's a quick fix. The most important thing to look at is cutting out wastage.
Yes, sir.
Wastage is the bugbear.
Yep.
Wastage is the bugbear, because you got to look and see, as I thankfully hear the new prime minister, you got to prioritize.
Agreed.
You got to find out what is necessary, what is optional, what is necessary, you know. And that's what type of thing, that's why you got to go cut out the wastage. So these are the things that you have to do. Cut the wastage out. And you get a better handle on the whole operation. You don't necessarily just
and prices gonna have to come down.
Yeah.
Have to.
It don't have to be just a simple case of sending home 15,000 workers. You might got a lot of vases other ways to cut out.
Stay with you on that.
All right,
thanks a lot.
Okay, cool.
Someone says here, do you have any information on the ongoing issue at the Supreme Court? I'm supposed to collect my birth certificate tomorrow. I'd like to know if collection is at Green Hill or the old office town. I tried calling. The numbers are not working. I'm not sure what the numbers are not working means. Nobody answering the phone or the call is not going through. I don't know if they've changed the numbers. We don't have, the thing is, I don't have information, unfortunately. Brass Tax, good morning.
I am on, Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fine, and how are you?
I haven't seen you in a long time.
I've been staying out of circulation. As you get older, you hide. Or at least I hide.
And now I thought you were as handsome as I know you to be.
Oh, Lord.
Because
you need glasses.
Want that lady. You know who I mean.
I know who you mean, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you this morning? What's up?
I had so much things to talk about. Now you knocked me off of my main point?
Oh, no, ma'am. Why would I do that? Tell me what was the main thing. What was on your mind?
But what was on my mind is the national insurance pension.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not received any additional money on mine. So I was wondering why that I have people call me and told me they got on theirs.
Mm-hmm. Someone sent one here saying that they did, yes.
And I have not received any additional money on mine. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two is the gloating. The gloating. Now, I want to say up front that everybody within the last 50 years that have been successful in this country have been brought up under the democratic educational system. Because prior to 1961, and I want to talk to my friend, I call him my friend, the gentleman who called that he wanted the demise of the Democratic Labor Party. I love to hear him. You know, because he went to West St. Joseph. And
that's near and dear to your heart.
No.
Oh, he's near and dear to your heart. I thought it was a school that was near and dear to your heart.
I went to school in Bridgetown.
Okay.
At the age of 10.
Okay.
So he would never have had that privilege. That was for poor people's school.
Okay. So now you're going to come at you.
No, I like him, though. He got a good memory. He should have done better at that school when he called his thing. And listen, I admire him, you know. And because if he can match every every election, he did something.
Yeah, he has a good memory.
He did something wrong, something went wrong at his school, in his school.
I think it was you. If you were with him, he would have done well.
Pardon?
If you were with him, he might have done well or better.
But
it's not being with you.
Something went wrong along the way. But I really admire him.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying, because he know all the facts,
yep,
which I came up with, and I still stand by, but I have achieved. But he seemed to have achieved nothing other than memory.
Listen, oh, you could say that. The gentleman has achieved what he wants to achieve. You know, ma'am, the truth is, we set ourselves different goals, and sometimes people look at you and say, you could have done much better. I hear that about me all the time. And I say to them, you know, I do what I'm supposed to do. Unfortunately, it may not be good enough for a lot of people. I keep telling the one or two people who may be around when I die, please put a note on my tombstone saying, he did his best, it wasn't good enough, and perhaps that would make them happy. Anyway, thanks for sharing with us. I just want to share this. Someone sent me a contact. The Supreme Court Manor Lodge number 535-9786. The main 535-9700. That's for the person who said they couldn't reach the Supreme Court. And another one says, I spoke to a senior person at the Supreme Court registry and was told that by next week, things will be in place to serve the public. I suppose that means back at the Supreme Court in Bridgetown, as opposed to the location at Manor Lodge. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341-790. You can also reach us at 266-IVOB, which is 266-4862. And let me just correct the statement. It's at Manor Lodge. It's at Manor Lodge that the registry said that by next week things should be in place to serve the public. And of course, White Park Road is still being cleaned. And I thank the person for bringing that to our attention. That's one of the reasons why I actually like or WhatsApp. We have people on WhatsApp who really do keep us on our toes, send quick responses when we have a question. Sometimes the GIS as well would send a response quickly, which is good. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. And this question of the increase in pension, somebody else saying their mother did not receive an increase in pensions, she's a contributory pensioner, and it's not fair. Again, this is where communication and what is said and what is heard is sometimes not the same thing, and then interpretation and changes. I think the government, through its various agencies and the various PR people, should clear up the issue of pensions, who will get increases, whether those at the upper end would not, whether it's those who are at the lower end, how the pension scales are measured and how they increased. Because, as I said, it's these little flashpoint things that when sent from one person to another, and people start saying, me too, me too, me too, me too, in our movement in the United States, well, me too, that all of a sudden, everybody, I think they'll soon have to have a class of those who were not molested, please raise your hand. If you don't get it right, if you don't let people understand, then you will hear this, you know, I ain't get none, and those who ain't put getting more than me, and then we have us against them again. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 4341-790, Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Okay, there's somebody there, but they're not listening to the radio. So let's try again. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm just trying to put my 2 cents worth to the person who spoke about the wastage in the government department. I'm associated with a government department that they pay $2,600 per month to rent plants that can be purchased.
Plants?
And plants.
This is the greenery, the shrubbery in the office?
Yes.
Okay.
$2,600 per month.
To rent
for
plants?
The rental of the plants.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think it is a complete waste of government funds.
Well, the person at the plant place must be thinking it's the opposite. It's a good way to make some money, but $2,600 a month in plants. Okay. There's a lot of plants. Well, about 20 plants per floor. I'm being silly. Look, greenery, I know, plants in an office, yes, they get rid of some of the CO2 in the air, and they make the place look good, but a month,
but
that's...
But
you could buy it, which is what I'm about to say. You buy plants for
$100,
and yeah.
Yeah, but yep. $2,600 per month is what they cost the establishment. And it's a government establishment.
Okay. All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'll breathe deeply as well.
Yeah, I need to get into the plant rental business. I could, yeah.
Have a good day.
You too, ma'am. No, let me see. If I get some cuttings from outside in the palms that we have, okay, then I got to get the contract. You see, this is the type of thing that I'm talking about, how those around look at it and how it relates to them. Now, if you have somebody who, as the lady says, that's what they're paying to rent plants, and then you tell the maid, the lady has cleaned the office, you know, or the fellas in the yard, you know, helping keep outside neat and tidy, you gotta go home because we're laying off people. You see how it affects the morale of your people? Okay, all right. Brass Tacks, good morning. Boy, we got a real job on our hands. Hello? 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning. Somebody playing with their telephones today. Yes, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir, how are you, man?
I'm not too bad, sir. I didn't play with anything, sir.
I know. I know you know this business real well.
Sometimes you hear a little trickling in the switch.
In the switch, yeah. When we switch from one to the other, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Hi. Mr. Johnson, 2 issues I want to raise you very briefly. Mr. Johnson, we have a problem with this seaweed. And I remember about 2 years ago, I'm a person who likes to see. I, and others, like to relax. You see, relaxes me and, you know, puts me in a very contemplative mood and so on.
You more like me than I thought. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I studied on... you learn more from Mother Nature. You can never run out of school, sir. Believe me. But I had a conversation, but not myself, but a gentleman, I believe he was a public official, and he was trying to contemplate how to deal with the moss. A few of us who are accustomed in the around the sea and so on, who observe, we gave him some advice. Now, we don't know these public officials don't always take advice unless they come from KFL or something like that. We said to him clearly, look, the moss comes in at specific times, and you'll see on the surf for 2 or 3 days, and then a high tide will come and dump it on the sand.
Sand, right. Mm-hmm.
And I say high tide because you recognize that there are 4 tides a day. You know that.
Yeah, the rise and falling of tides.
That's right.
It happens. Sometimes less than 4 because of when the first one takes place. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, it dumps the moss on the sand. Now, it remains there for about 2 days. And if you do not move it, then another high tide will come and take it back into the surf. And then start to play with it. Water turns brown, slimy, smelly, and all kind of thing. We try to explain to you gentlemen, the best thing to deal with the moss, once you monitor it and you see it come to shore, within 48 hours, you have to push it beyond the high water mark. So when the tide comes in again, at whatever time, it will not put it back into the surf. and you'll be able to control it that, but you have to monitor it. The problem we have is that sometimes we don't monitor the moss, the seaweed, and it stays on the sand for 3 and 4 and 5 days. The sea come back, plays with it. And if you ever get another tide of moss, new moss coming in, you're in really trouble, real trouble. Because then the high tide then piles up 2 and 3 feet high. They can carry your shoes some now. 2 and 3 feet high, and you have real problems. The simple way to do it, and I've seen it done at Miami my last year, I think it was. Once the moss comes in, within 48 hours, get a bobcat or excavator, push the moss away from the high water mark, and you're in good shape. But you have to monitor when it comes in. Otherwise, you lose track, and you try to exit back, or it brings in another set of moss, and you got real trouble. So it's simple as that. You got to monitor. I really thought that the coastal zone management was responsible for monitoring our beaches and what goes on the waterfront, but apparently they don't want to monitor in St. James and St. Michael.
That's but not I true, was, man. Don't I do was, them that.
But Christchurch, we're having so much erosion and nobody does anything. So I guess
well, sir, you see, hold on. I mean, I got to come to the defense here a little bit. I can't say that they don't do anything in Christchurch. I've seen work done in Christchurch along the area just past Oyston's. Groins were built. Rehabilitation was done to one of my favorite spots when I was a youngster. The beach that people keep calling Accra. I didn't know it as Accra. I know it as Rockley Beach. But anyhow, work was done there. So the coastal zone has monitored the south coast. Now, you may not be happy with all they have done. Some of the beaches on what I call the going to St. Philip side of things, Long Beach, that area out there, sometimes I think it's just deserted and ignored from Chancery Lane. Go back. But I made the comment earlier on, and I will make the comment again, sir. As someone who loves the sea, and I do love the sea, I went to sea at the age of 7. I come from a long line of, I got more salt water in my vein than blood. It just as you said, it relaxes me. I can't go and live in New York because I can't watch concrete. And when people complain about the smell of the sea, I like the smell of the sea. Okay, that's the truth. I mean, when it's, rotten fish, I don't like the smell of, but I like the scent of the sea. I don't worry me. But the truth is that I am not sure that we pay sufficient attention to our marine environment in total. In other words, we fix one side and something happens on the other side because of what we've done on one side. And then we say, oh, we got to fix it. Then from time to time, I see in the newspaper, this person knocked down a wall in front of this hotel. That person put, you see this thing about beach chairs all over the beach all of a sudden? I don't know. We used to go and lie down on the beach on the sand on a towel. Now we have to have a chair and an umbrella. And soon we have to have a chair, umbrella, and a cooler. I know it's making money. I just get quarreled with for talking about plants. I was told, don't there. Don't criticize what I don't understand. The rentals ensure that the plants don't stay dead and ugly and rotated every so often. Okay, so somebody making money. I ain't got a problem with that. Justify the $6,000 when you say, send home the maid or send home the ex-body. And the same thing with the coast. If we're going to fix the coast, let's look at the coast. If we have a problem with sargassum seaweed, if it's seasonal, let's deal with how we clean up, when we clean up, and what we do with it. Is it expensive to get the booms that we use for oil spills and to catch it out in the sea? And what do we do when we catch it out in the sea? That is what we need to do when we talk about solving our problems.
Johnson,
we can't just shut it down people because we don't like the color or what they're saying or where they come from. Yeah.
That's true. Mr. Johnson, one other point I want to make very quickly. The government in its budget allocated $25 million to buy buses. Now, I don't know how many buses they're going to buy, but I would certainly hope they don't bring more of these big clumsy buses that we've had in the past, that the Transport Board reports 6 accidents every week because they hit something in a corner or something hit them. I was a strong suggester, and you might...
I got to pick you up on that, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson, we used to bring in bus chassis into Barbados and build wooden bodies on them. And these were high school bodies. These were not PhDs and MBAs. I am saying, sir, that we should not...
So they were qualified in what they were doing.
That's right. We should not give up that. I would like to see us bring in, say, 20 chassis, and every 6 months, And we have two factories, one factory to assemble the bus, the other factory to accessorize it, and we produce about, let's say, even if we produce two buses every month, I think we'll still be saving foreign exchange. We'll be providing work for people in Barbados, and if we're lucky, we'll be able to export maybe a couple of buses when we have enough. But I cannot continue to support importing buses in here all the time. The buses come in, they're high on fuel consumption. Most of them are what they're called long-haul buses, but they stop every 200 yards, so you mash it, you brake, you mash it, the transmission.
You have heavy use. You have heavy use.
The bus, the engines overheat and so on because they're not suitable for this climate.
So that too I will pick you up on. So listen, the problem that you've identified with our buses, you've identified from time to time, and there's some things that you say that are valid, and there's some things that I take a little issue with. One of the things is the question of the buses being so big that they hit. Grenada had them big yellow buses that the U.S. used for school buses, and they hit. You mean we have better drivers there? So the buses get hit because they're driven badly or people drive badly and hit the bus. Hit them because of the size of the bus. Regional Roundup is next. More of your calls, and then we have the latest at 12:30. Stay with us.